him Peter and James and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Father, through the written word and the spoken word, open our eyes to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please sit. Sometimes there are going to be points in our lives when we look around us and we wonder, is that all there is to life? Sometimes it's just a passing question. Sometimes that question, is that all there is, can occupy us for quite a long period of time. As human beings, we often reflect. We think back over our lives, our circumstances, places we find ourselves in and people that we find ourselves with. And quite often, we just want more. There's always a kind of a restlessness. There's always a kind of a longing for something else or for things to seem or feel different. Many people might call that a midlife crisis. And for some people, that can make them do quite crazy things. A new job, a new car, even a new relationship. Maybe they might take up a new hobby, go on an expensive holiday, or find themselves working extra hours. But in spite of all that, nothing seems to change. But that's not about life. That's instead, it's all about us. The restlessness and the desire for something more generally means that we've been living life at the shallow end of the pool, and maybe we've been afraid to swim out into the deeper water. We've just been skimming across the surface, if you like. But in some ways, it's easy to be at the shallow end. There, we feel encouraged and rewarded by the world around us. But if we fail to go out into the deeper water, sometimes we will fail to experience that the world is actually already transfigured into the likeness of God, and the whole of creation is filled with the divine light of Jesus. But living life on the surface and never being adventurous just makes us often more and more judgmental. We might look at our circumstances as just being a picture. If it's pretty, if it's pleasing, if it's nice to look at, then we know that God is good and life is just as we want it. But if we don't see what we want to see in the picture, quite often we're looking for something completely different. And so the searching starts and the circumstances change. We don't necessarily need to see new things in our lives. Instead, I suggest we try looking at the same familiar things around us with new eyes. We don't need to hear a different voice. Instead, we need to hear the same old voice that is speaking to us, but hear it with different ears this time. And instead of trying to escape, we need instead to be more fully present in the circumstances of our lives. and we're doing that, we're no longer paddling about at the shallow end. We're venturing out into the deeper water where there are new possibilities, different experiences. And those are the moments of transfiguration, when everything shines with a different light. That's when we start looking at life as though we were looking through a window, if you like, looking into a new world. But this is the transfigured world, where we come like those disciples, face to face with the glory of Jesus. We like to see God in the circumstances of our lives. We like God to show up, to be around. We're always happy when God is doing something. That's the God who does, almost like a practical God, if you like. And that's the God who is described in the early part of Mark's Gospel, right up until that point of today's reading about the Transfiguration. That marks a change. It marks a change in the ministry of Jesus and his disciples. The journey then begins in earnest towards Jerusalem. And this, in Mark's Gospel, is a pivotal movement, now setting foot on the spiritual journey. God is discovered by the disciples in the circumstances around them. They've been on this journey. But they've already seen Jesus cast out demons. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law, and he's cured the sick people of Capernaum. Lepers have been made clean. A withered hand has been restored. Paralytics now walk, the blind see, and thousands of people have been fed. That's the God about who people talk about, the God that gets the likes and the shares on Facebook. That's the God who is doing something. But at some point, we need to discover for ourselves the God who goes beyond the circumstances. We go from looking for the God who does to looking for the God who is. That's the point of the spiritual journey from now on. Jesus leads Peter, James, and John up the mountain to discover a God who is present in completely different circumstances. And there on the mountain, they see Jesus transfigured or changed before them. Suddenly, his clothes become dazzling white, whiter than no one on earth could make them. And the clouds are there, and the voice of God speaks out of the clouds, telling them about his beloved Son. Listen to him, says God. And so Peter is really happy. It's good to be there. Let's hold on to this special moment. Let's make some dwelling places. And he wants to frame Jesus, Elijah, and Moses in that picture. It's good to be here. This is the kind of picture I want to look at, Peter's thinking. He wants to hold on to it. If he had a camera, he'd be taking a picture of it so he could always hold it in his mind's eye. But pictures don't move. On the mountain where the transfiguration happened, our pictures of the circumstances of life around us suddenly become windows, and we step through them into a new world. Different ways of seeing, hearing, and different ways of being. And suddenly that's what happens for Peter, James, and John. But at the time, they don't quite get it. Jesus, however, doesn't suddenly light up and become something that he wasn't in the first place, because the nature of God cannot change. But instead, their eyes are opened in a new way. Their ears are opened in a different way. And they suddenly see Jesus as he always has been. The voice in the cloud was not a new voice that was speaking to them. Their ears were opened in a different way, and they suddenly hear the voice that had always been speaking from the beginning. So for those disciples, the transfiguration is about as much a moment for them as it is a moment for Jesus. And whenever in the circumstances of life around us we start to see things in a different way, we are standing like those disciples at a pivotal point, a point of transfiguration. The circumstances and the stuff haven't necessarily changed, but instead we've been changed. And when we're changed, the way we encounter those around us and the world around us, of course, changes with those new eyes and those new ears. And those transfigured moments, those points of change, they're all around us. Every one of us could tell a story about stepping back from the picture of life and instead seeing things in a new and different way, discovering that window that opens into another world and a different way of being and experiencing the world around us. And sometimes for some people that can be the day that they reveal to somebody else a great secret that they might have been carrying around for years. If we tell the secret of the picture of our lives as being a picture of guilt and shame, that becomes an open window through which we've stepped. And suddenly the darkness and the depression gives way to light. The chains fall off. Forgiveness then overcomes sin. And like those disciples, we want to hold on to those transfigured moments. We want to hold on to the experience or the feeling. And we're tempted quite often to want to build dwelling places for those moments. But if we're doing that, we're just simply holding on to the past. To the extent that we cling to the past, we're closing ourselves off to the future that God is offering to us, that journey out into the deeper water where we have the experience in a completely different way. We shouldn't be clinging on to the past, rather we should be looking to the moment and see that point of change. So those disciples, Peter, James and John, have to come back down the mountain, and they do so with Jesus. They couldn't stay there, but neither did they leave the mountain. Instead, they took that experience, that mountain experience, that encounter with them, because that experience of the transfigured Jesus is what will carry them through his passion, his crucifixion, and right through to his resurrection. So those transfigured moments, the times when we see things differently, they change us. They can be points of encouragement, but they can also be points where we travel through the frame into a future, regardless of the circumstances we face. Transfigured moments of encounter with God actually show us who we are as human beings. So we're not looking through the picture into the past. Instead, we're looking at ourselves and the world around us as the transfigured people of God. If we open our eyes and unstop our ears, we will see and experience the world in a completely different way. That's the point of transfiguration. If we open our hearts, then our lives will be lived in a completely different way, and we'll be people who live transfigured or changed lives, no longer bound by the past, but instead looking towards the future. So every picture of life is actually an open window that says there's far much more to life than this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.